Picture this for a second. You're sitting in the cab of your work truck.
Oh, I know this scene.
Right. There's a lukewarm cup of coffee in the cup holder. You've got this messy stack of receipts on the dash. And you're just taking one long, deep breath before you put it in drive and head to the next job.
Because you wear a lot of hats.
Exactly. You're the lead technician, you're the accountant, the HR department, and honestly, whether you like it or not, you are the chief marketing officer.
Which is an incredible amount of pressure. And for a lot of local service professionals, there's just this creeping exhaustion that comes from the digital side of things.
Yeah, the website, the lead generation, the follow-ups.
Exactly. It doesn't just feel like a second job. It feels like an uncompensated 24/7 on-call shift.
Spot on. And the playbook we're looking at today from DeMott Digital Marketing argues that all those hats you're wearing, well, they are exactly why your business is leaking thousands of dollars a week.
It's a bold claim, but the logic really tracks.
It does. Just to set the table, we're pulling from a collection of DeMott's website excerpts, a really interesting digital marketing game concept built on CodePen and one of their own podcast scripts.
And as always, we are impartially analyzing the strategies here.
Right, we are not endorsing the company itself, but rather dissecting their specific philosophy on how local businesses actually survive online.
We're really just looking at the architecture of their approach.
Okay, let's unpack this. The central premise of their entire framework boils down to one simple, brutal truth. You cannot fill a leaky bucket.
You really can't.
It absolutely does not matter if you pour a massive budget into Facebook ads or Google search. If your digital foundation is cracked, that money is just spilling right out onto the floor.
And to understand how to permanently fix that bucket, DeMott's strategy suggests we have to start with the psychology of the modern local business owner.
Right, before the tech.
Yes, because before you can fix the tech stack, you have to look at the human being who is desperately trying to run it.
They use this really vivid, almost cinematic concept to describe that psychological toll. They call it the dark forest.
I love that framing.
It's so good. In this forest, the local pro acts as what they call the loner. You know, you are out there swinging a sword in the dark. It's 2:00 a.m. The glow of your laptop is the only light in the room.
Just frantically typing.
Yeah, desperately trying to duct tape a bunch of free software tools together using Zapier, basically acting as your own makeshift IT department.
Which is a nightmare.
It's like trying to build an entire four-bedroom house using only a Swiss Army knife. I mean, sure, it technically has a saw and a screwdriver on it, but it's the absolute fastest route to complete structural failure and, well, personal burnout.
What's fascinating here is the concept of the sanity meter, which they treat as a very real, finite resource.
A metric for your actual mental health.
Exactly. And we really need to look at why this loner mentality is so pervasive and so damaging. Business owners, especially scrappy entrepreneurs who built their companies from the ground up, have been conditioned to believe that saving money by refusing to pay for software is a massive win.
Oh, totally. They find a free scheduling tool or a free email sender, and they think they've successfully hacked the system.
Right, they look at their spreadsheet and think, boom, I just saved $50 a month. I'm a genius.
But they aren't actually saving anything, are they?
Not at all. The hidden cost is their cognitive load. They're paying for that free, disjointed tool with their peace of mind.
Because doing it all yourself without a unified system means you're forced into a permanent reactive state.
Yes. If a lead emails you while you're sitting down to a rare dinner with your family, the loner mindset dictates that if you don't drop your fork and reply right that second,
The lead goes to a competitor.
precisely. So, yes, you kept your $50, but your sanity meter is plummeting to zero, and your family is eating dinner in silence while you type frantically under the table.
So we know the loner is exhausted. We've established a burnout. But how exactly does this exhaustion translate into actual, quantifiable lost revenue?
The leaky bucket.
Exactly. This is where we get to the core symptom of that leak. Their materials outline a very specific, highly relatable scenario, and they call it the $1,000 silence.
It is probably the most expensive 60 seconds in the local service industry.
It really is. So let's look at John the plumber. John is a master at his craft. It's 2:00 p.m. on a Tuesday, and John is physically wedged underneath a cramped kitchen sink.
A terrible place to be receiving calls.
The worst. He has a pipe wrench in one hand, he's holding dripping PVC primer in the other, and he is right in the middle of a delicate, messy fix.
And then the phone rings.
Suddenly, his phone vibrates in his pocket. He physically cannot reach into his pocket without ruining the pipe, spilling the primer, or just making a massive mess.
So he ignores it.
He has to. He makes the only logical choice in that moment.
A completely rational, reasonable decision based on his immediate physical reality.
Right. But now we have to look at the other end of that phone call. The caller is a homeowner named Sarah.
And Sarah's probably not having a great day.
Sarah has water actively pouring through her ceiling from an upstairs bathroom. She's experiencing an amygdala hijack. She is in full, unadulterated panic mode.
Just pure stress.
Yeah. She Googled plumber near me and just tapped the very first phone number she saw, which happened to be John. When John doesn't answer...
She doesn't leave a voicemail.
Exactly. She hangs up, goes right back to the search results, and calls the second name on the list. Second guy picks up, and he gets the job.
Wow.
10 minutes later, John wipes off his hands, calls the number back, and Sarah says, oh, sorry, I actually already found someone else.
Yeah.
That 60 seconds of silence just cost John a $1,000 job.
He literally lost the job for doing his actual job.
Yes.
This raises an important question about the psychology of the modern consumer. We are looking at a fundamental shift in behavior here. Modern consumers, especially in a moment of panic or immediate need, simply do not leave voicemails anymore.
They really don't. It feels like throwing a message into the void.
Voicemails feel like a black hole. They require immediate acknowledgement. If they don't get a signal that help is on the way, their anxiety pushes them directly to the path of least resistance.
Which is your competitor.
Exactly.
But hold on, I have to push back on this because it feels incredibly unfair.
It does feel harsh.
Right. Shouldn't a master craftsman's reputation count for something?
Yeah.
If John is objectively the best, most reliable plumber in a 50-mile radius, why is the digital economy penalizing him just because he's elbow deep in a fix?
It's a tough spot.
It feels like the system is actively punishing the actual skilled workers in favor of whoever just has the fastest trigger finger.
It is a bitter pill to swallow, and it's a frustration you hear from almost every tradesperson out there. But the reality of digital consumer behavior is entirely unforgiving.
It doesn't care about fairness.
Not at all. The market, especially the panic-driven market, doesn't care that John has 20 years of experience and 5-star reviews. The market cares who is available right this second to stop the water from destroying the drywall.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's not about fairness. It's about accessibility. However, the strategy here doesn't just point out the inherent unfairness. It offers a highly specific automated solution.
The auto reply.
Yes. DeMott calls it the auto reply system, more commonly known in the tech space as a missed call text back.
Okay, so break down the actual mechanism there. How does that bridge the gap between John's physical reality under the sink and Sarah's absolute panic?
It leverages a simple API trigger. The millisecond John's phone registers that a call was missed or sent to voicemail, the system automatically fires off a text message to Sarah's smartphone.
Automatically?
Yes. It says something personal and immediate, like, hi, this is John's Plumbing. I'm on a job site with a client right now and can't answer the phone, but I want to help. Is this an emergency?
Oh, that's brilliant. So Sarah's phone buzzes while she's literally scrolling down to call the next guy.
Exactly. She looks down, and the panic cycle is interrupted. She stops scrolling because she feels seen and acknowledged. The black hole has been closed.
That's huge.
She replies, yes, my ceiling is leaking. And John's system pings him with a text. He can take 2 seconds to text back. I can be there in 45 minutes.
And he manages to lock in a $1,000 job without ever dropping his wrench.
The bucket is officially patched.
That completely changes the dynamic. Okay, so once the phone stops leaking leads, the logical next step is making sure the phone rings with the right kind of leads.
Yes, quality matters.
Because if you just patched the bucket, you want to make sure you're filling it with clean water, not mud.
Precisely. And this introduces the trap that so many small businesses fall into, which the strategy refers to as spaghetti marketing.
Yes, yeah. Spaghetti marketing. For anyone who has ever managed their own digital ads, you know exactly what this is.
It's the worst.
We're talking about the gamification of ad platforms. Facebook makes that boost post button so incredibly shiny and frictionless.
They want you to click it.
So a local landscaper decides he wants more business. He hits boost, sets a generic 30-mile radius around his zip code, drops $500 on the ad, and just crosses his fingers.
He's just throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks.
And the mechanism behind why that fails is usually spatial geography, right?
Right. Because he didn't look at a topographical or demographic map. Half of that 30-mile radius happens to cover a downtown metropolitan area packed with high-rise apartment buildings.
And those people are renters.
Exactly. They don't even have lawns to landscape. He just threw half of his marketing budget straight into the garbage because the platform made it too easy to guess.
This is where we see the stark contrast with DeMott's approach, which relies on a blueprint call.
Yes, instead of guessing based on a simple radius, they utilize an intelligence tool called Map Business Online. They treat it like a geographic X-ray for the city to find highly specific layered data points.
So instead of just blanketing an area, how are they actually layering this data to find a target?
Well, let's say you're a roofer or an HVAC tech. Instead of that blind 30-mile radius, they overlay housing data to find subdivisions where the homes were built exactly 15 years ago.
Wait, really? 15 years?
Yes, because 15 years is the statistical window when builder-grade HVAC systems start failing and asphalt shingle roofs desperately need replacing.
Oh, wow. That's incredibly specific.
It gets better. Then they layer household income data over that to ensure the neighborhood can actually afford the replacement. Finally, they map exactly where competitors are currently running their ads.
So they find the gaps.
Exactly. By cross-referencing those three layers, they find the quiet, lucrative neighborhoods that have high need, high income, and zero competitor noise.
Every advertising dollar is deployed like a sniper rifle, targeting a specific need, not a blind guess. Okay, so let's follow the logic here. John the Plumber is now targeting the exact right neighborhoods with this X-ray vision, and his missed calls are automatically texting people back so he isn't losing leads.
He's doing great.
But this creates a new problem. Where is all this data actually going? If John's getting texts on his personal phone, leads in his email, and messages in a Facebook inbox, hasn't he just traded physical exhaustion for digital exhaustion?
A very real risk.
If he's still using 5 different apps to track this, we are right back in the dark forest.
And that is the exact pivot point where the tech stack has to consolidate. The strategy outlines a concept called the home base to solve this fragmentation.
Right, because right now the average owner might have a login for WordPress to fix a typo on their site, a login for MailChimp to send a newsletter, a separate CRM.
And for those listening who might just use an Excel sheet, a CRM is customer relationship management software.
Basically a digital Rolodex that tracks every client interaction.
Exactly. Plus, they have another app entirely for invoicing. You forget one password or an API link breaks, and your whole Friday night is ruined.
The home base replaces all of that with a single unified dashboard. Everything lives quietly in one place.
One login to rule them all.
But here is my question. Business owners are not a monolith. What if I am a tinkerer?
Good question.
What if I actively want to get my hands dirty and build my own automated workflows? Or what if I just want someone to be my safety net when I inevitably break something?
The framework addresses that spectrum of owners by offering 3 distinct doors into this home base concept. Door number 1 is the managed home base.
For the hands-off folks.
Right. This is for the person who wants zero tech headaches. It's a flat $150 a month plus a one-time $500 setup fee. They build it, they host it, they run the CRM, and they manage the tech completely while you focus on the actual pipe fitting or landscaping.
Okay, that's the hands-off route. What about the tinkerer I mentioned?
That's door number 2, the DIY approach. They provide an affiliate link to the underlying software engine they use, which is a massive all-in-one marketing platform called Go High Level.
Okay, I've heard of that.
Yeah, for power users who know what they're doing, you can just go use their link and build your own digital fortress from scratch.
So door 1 is total management, door 2 is total isolation. But business isn't binary. I'm guessing door 3 is for the guy who wants to run his own ads but doesn't know how to fix a broken calendar integration.
Exactly. Door number 3 is what they call the tech ally. It's a hybrid model. You run your own day-to-day marketing, but you pay a monthly retainer or just a straight hourly rate of $50 for what they specifically advertise as no-jerk troubleshooting.
No-jerk troubleshooting. I genuinely love that framing.
It's great. If you are hopelessly stuck at 7:00 p.m. on a Friday trying to figure out why your web form isn't capturing emails, they act as your safety net to jump in, fix the broken code, and get out.
Without locking you into a massive predatory agency contract.
Exactly.
So here's where it gets really interesting. With these tools centralized, what is the actual operating mindset that keeps this whole machine running?
The philosophy behind it all.
Right. The materials outline a very quirky set of rules they call the philosophy of the porch.
It's essentially a set of behavioral guardrails designed to prevent the business owner from getting in their own way.
Let's look at some of these rules, starting with perfect is the enemy of good. They argue that a business owner who throws up an objectively ugly logo and launches a basic functional website today is going to absolutely crush the competitor who spends 6 months agonizing over the perfect hex code for their brand's shade of blue.
It's so true, though.
Why? Because the ugly logo is live. It's indexing on Google, and it's actually capturing phone calls right now while the competitor is still arguing with a graphic designer.
It prioritizes momentum and data collection over aesthetics.
Exactly. Another rule, sales happen when awareness meets needs. You cannot force a water heater to explode in someone's basement. You don't control the timing of their crisis.
No, you just have to be there.
But you absolutely can control your awareness, making sure you are the very first most trusted name they see when that water heater eventually does flood the basement.
Being top of mind.
Yes. And my personal favorite rule, don't fix what ain't broke. If a plumbing company comes in and they are already deeply entrenched in using a massive field dispatch software like ServiceTitan or Jobber, DeMott won't force them to abandon it for some proprietary new tool.
They just integrate it.
Right. They just use webhooks to integrate their home base with what the client is already successfully using.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this ties directly into their core value of being data-driven, people-focused.
And how does that apply to the ads themselves?
Well, this brings up a crucial mechanism regarding how local businesses interact with modern advertising algorithms. They explain exactly why relying entirely on black box corporate algorithms, like the ones running Facebook or Google Ads, is highly dangerous for a local pro.
Because those algorithms are built to optimize for massive national corporations, right?
Exactly. Let's look at how the AI actually works. Machine learning requires data density. A giant corporation can feed these algorithms thousands of conversions and a massive budget.
So the AI has plenty to learn from.
Right. The AI goes through a learning phase where it essentially gambles money to figure out what works. When a local roofer with a tiny $1,000 monthly budget uses that same black box algorithm, the AI doesn't have enough data density to learn efficiently.
So it just wastes it.
Yes. A single algorithmic learning phase can burn through their entire monthly budget in 3 days with zero return.
It just vaporizes the budget while it practices.
Precisely. DeMott argues that you must use data, but you have to remember that a click is actually a neighbor looking for help. It requires human oversight to ensure a small budget isn't swallowed whole by the machine.
You need actual eyes on it.
And to ensure they can actually provide that human oversight, they enforce a strict 10-client capacity limit per expert on their team.
Wait, really? Just 10 clients per expert? That is drastically different from the typical digital marketing agency model, where the goal is to stack 50 or 60 accounts onto one stressed-out junior account manager until the whole thing collapses.
It is entirely anti-agency in its design.
Which perfectly sets up the next phase. If this whole philosophy is built on honest, protected, local growth, what happens when the business actually succeeds?
Good problems to have.
What happens when John the plumber outgrows this neighbor-focused model? Well, DeMott operates with an absolute refusal to use long-term contracts. They don't trap people. Instead, they offer something called a loyalty edge.
How does that loyalty edge function in practice?
If you are a home base member, meaning you have taken the time to sort out your foundation with them, they give you 50% off their actual marketing services.
50%?
Yeah, so having them manage your Google search ads becomes $250 a month instead of $500. Their Market Authority package, which is local search engine optimization to make sure you rank on Google Maps, plus managing your online reputation, drops to $750 a month from $1,200.
Wait, they aggressively discount their own top-tier services?
Yes, because the philosophy is that if your foundation is solid, if your leaky bucket is patched, it is objectively easier for them to run ads for you. They reward the people who took the time to build the foundation.
This leads to perhaps the rarest concept in the entire marketing industry. The sources call it the graduation.
Right, the exit door.
Exactly. The ultimate stated goal of this model is to act as a launch pad. Imagine a scenario where John the plumber succeeds wildly. 3 years from now, he isn't under a sink anymore.
He's the CEO.
Right. He has a 15-truck fleet, a massive regional warehouse, and suddenly his company needs multi-state PR campaigns and broadcast television ads.
Things a highly specialized small-town agency just can't handle.
Right. Most agencies in that scenario would try to hold on to that lucrative client for dear life. They'd enforce an ironclad contract, or worse, hold the client's domain name or data hostage.
which is so common.
It happens all the time. But DeMott's policy is to actively help them pack their bags. Because the client owns their Go High-Level sub-account, DeMott will happily export the entire thing, hand over all the accumulated data and customer lists with a smile, and even get on a Zoom call with the new giant agency's tech team to ensure the transition is seamless.
That's wild.
The client outgrowing them isn't viewed as a lost account. It's treated as the ultimate victory.
So what does this all mean? Let's trace the journey we just took. We started with a lonely night wandering the dark forest, bleeding his sanity meter dry, and losing $1,000 to the silence of a missed phone call.
A dark place to start.
We learned the mechanism of how an instant text back bridges the gap between a tradesman's reality and a consumer's panic. We talked about using Map Business Online to x-ray a city for 15-year-old roofs instead of throwing Facebook spaghetti at apartment buildings.
Fixing the leads.
Exactly. We looked at consolidating the digital chaos into a sturdy home-based dashboard. And finally, we saw how that solid foundation eventually lets a business completely graduate to the big leagues without being held hostage.
It is a highly comprehensive, deeply psychological roadmap for digital survival. And for those listening who want to see how this framework applies to their own specific setup, there is a tangible takeaway.
Yes, there is. DeMott offers a comprehensive digital audit of your current tech stack. They normally charge $25 for this just to act as a filter against tire kickers.
Makes sense.
But if you go to their website, you can get a free discovery call by using the codes Honestouty360 or Homebase.
It's a low-stakes opportunity to have someone look under the hood and find exactly where your specific bucket is leaking.
I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. We've spent this entire deep dive talking about how these automated tools, the auto replies, the AI integrations, the unified dashboards, save the business owner from burnout.
They absolutely do.
But think about the next generation of tradespeople. If the entire local service industry shifts toward this kind of instant gratification, AI-assisted booking, what happens to the human element of local business?
That's a great question.
If every plumber and roofer in town has an automated bot replying to you in 3 seconds, does the local neighborly part even matter anymore? Or is the future of local service just going to be an invisible arms race of who has the fastest, smartest tech spec bot?
It's entirely possible.
Think about it. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. And as always, keep learning.